Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be followers of God as dear children." Do we have any children of God in the house this morning? Well, as children of God, he says, be followers of God. Thank God we can be followers of God. Think about that. We can follow him. I mean, just like the disciples that walked with Jesus, they followed him. We can follow God. We can follow, just like Jesus followed God. We can follow God, because he tells us right here, as children, as dear children, be followers of God. So say it with me, say, I'm a child of God. Therefore, I can follow God, which means God wants to lead us. He wants to lead us in life. He wants to guide us, but he can only lead those who follow him. So we need to determine in our heart, number one, is to be followers of God. Determined to be followers of God. Not followers of man, but followers of God. Now, God will work through man. But number one, we are following God. We're looking to him. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." See, again, children of God, now sons of God. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I like that. We're not under the law. You don't hear a lot of people talk about, well, we're saved by grace, we're not under the law. But you might have gotten saved by grace, but if you're just going to be led by your flesh, then the law still applies to you. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the ones that are not under the law. So God has replaced being under the law, which is what they had under the old covenant in the Old Testament, to being led by his Spirit. But if we ignore his Spirit, and we have no desire to be led by him, we're still going to live the same old way we've always lived before and just say, well, I'm saved by grace, I'm not under the law, that doesn't work. And there's a lot of carnality in the body of Christ that thinks just that way. They think, well, because we're saved, therefore we're not under the law. No, he says those who are led by the Spirit, those who are going to follow the Spirit. Are you endeavoring to be led by the Spirit of God? Are you looking to him? See, our whole attitude in life should be not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done in every part of our life, every day of our life. Your will be done. We're not looking to just do our own thing. And by being led by him, glory to God, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. We don't need to be, because you're following the one who wrote the law, the one who gave us the law. If you're following him, you don't have to follow a law, just follow him. And he'll lead you in a way that never violates God's law, never violates God's way of thinking or God's way of doing things. So number one, or the number one way that God, the Holy Spirit, leads us in life is through the hearing of the Word of God. Through the hearing of the Word of God. Again, this is how we got born again. We got born again, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but through the hearing of the Word. When we heard the gospel of our salvation, we believed and we were saved. In other words, we yielded ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and he came and dwelt on the inside of us. So now the Holy Spirit of God, he lives in us. He's brought us to salvation. How did he bring us to salvation? How did he lead us to salvation? It was through the hearing of the Word of God. And that's how he's going to lead us to a new life, a new way of thinking, a new way of believing, a new way of acting, behaving in life is through the hearing of the Word of God. So as we get a hold of the Word, the Spirit of God is able to lead us through life. He's able to lead us into a changed life, into a new life. God's got a great life for us. And so we got to fill ourselves up with the Word of God. And that's the number one way that we're to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the most sure way to be led by the Spirit of God. And then we talked about the inner witness, how God uses the inner witness on the inside of a born-again believer to lead us in life. And we saw that over in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 16, where it says, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice that. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know you're born again? How do you know you're a child of God? How do you know if you're right with God? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are. Well, in the same way he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, he'll bear witness with our spirit that certain behavior is not befitting of us. He'll convict us. That inner witness is a witness, or it's a conviction. Sometimes it's a prompting to do something. You just feel prompted to say something or do something. That's the Spirit of God leading us. Sometimes he'll urge you on the inside in your spirit to do something, or convict you about something you did that you shouldn't have done, or convict you not to do something. And it's so important to be sensitive to him and this particular way that he leads us. We've got to be very sensitive to the inner witness on the inside of us. We don't want to do anything to dull ourselves, our spirit, to the witness of the Holy Spirit. We got to watch, you know, because when he convicts, we want to acknowledge it. A lot of times people, they get convicted by the Holy Spirit. He's trying to stop them from going a certain direction. He's trying to stop them from doing certain things a certain way. And they just push it down. And no, because this is what they want to do. And that's called hardening your heart. You make your heart hard. You put a hard callus around your spirit, which makes it difficult now for the Spirit of God to be able to show you other things that you need to know from him. It makes it more difficult to be led by him. So we want to be super sensitive. Super sensitive. And one of the ways we do that is by immediately acknowledging his witness, acknowledging his conviction, acknowledging his promptings on the inside of you. Acknowledge what he's leading you to do. Obey it. Obey it. Respond to it. And as you do, you become more and more sensitive to him. Thank God we can. Because remember, like we said last time, the Bible tells us he always leads us in triumph. We had that on the back of our sign. You'll read it on the way out of here today. He always leads us in triumph if we're following him. If we're sensitive to him. We got to be sensitive to his leading. And this is one of the ways he leads us, is through the inner witness. So let's develop that. And if you've, maybe you've hardened your heart, and you've created a dullness to the Spirit of God, which I've seen people do. It's such a terrible thing. They just seem to, all of a sudden, people that were very sensitive to the Spirit of God, led by him, God would convict them. I mean, they would get convicted over the littlest things. And then next thing you know, they're saying stuff and they're doing stuff. It's completely contrary to the Word of God. You know the Spirit of God's trying to get their attention. But they're not hearing, they're not listening, they've closed their heart to him, they've become dull and insensitive to him. And it could have just been in some day-to-day things that he kept addressing in their life to knock it off, don't do this, and they just ignored it, continued. I know I need to change. I knew I need to fix that. I know I shouldn't do that anymore. And they just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. And it's just dulling and dulling and dulling. I know what he's telling me to do, but, and I will. And then it's, the next thing you know, they don't feel it anymore. And you know, I don't really think it's that bad anyway. I mean, after all, we're not under the law. We're saved by grace. I mean, anything kind of goes, right? And next thing you know, they start living a life that they never would have done if they had remained sensitive to the Spirit of God. Over in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, notice what he says here. He says, to whom shall I speak? Now, this is God talking. It's a question he's asking through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. So notice God's frustration here, and you can hear the frustration. He's saying, whom shall I speak and give warning? You know, God sees people making decisions and going in directions that are self-destructive. He sees them going in a way that could cost them their life or cause them a lot of problems in life. And he wants to warn us. He wants to warn us. And he's saying, who can I warn who will actually hear me? Because, you know, God always warns before any kind of tragedy takes place. He warns everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. When God sees problems, he is crying out. He is warning people, just like we saw in Proverbs with wisdom, which of course is the Spirit of God. Wisdom is, he is the Spirit of wisdom. And the Bible says he cries out. He cries out on the street corners. He cries out to us. He's trying to warn people. He's trying to help people. But in so many cases, people cannot hear. It's not a matter of God, why did you let this happen, God? No, why were you so deaf to God when he was warning you and telling you? You know, you like to say it just plain like that to some people. It's hard to do, though. They just get offended, then you can't help them at all, you know. But really, I mean, that really is the answer many times when people are saying, God, why? Why did you let this happen? It's like, no, why didn't you hear me when I was screaming to you? I was calling out to you. I was warning you. But you had dulled yourself. You had dulled yourself to me. Your voice was louder than my voice. The devil's voice was louder than my voice to you. You were more sensitive to what the devil was saying. You were more sensitive to what people were saying. And many times people are very sensitive to other people's sensitivity. We're just so sensitive to other people's sensitivity, you know, and so we really watch ourselves around people. How about God? How about being like super sensitive to him? And being attentive to him, to want to be pleasing to him, to want to follow him. People get into trouble because they didn't hear from him, because he warns. I said he warns. Why did you let that happen, God? And meanwhile, God was trying to tell him, change this, change the way you're doing things, change this lifestyle habit, change this, don't go this direction, don't go that way. And people have walked right into trouble because they did not hear God's warning. So you see that right here. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? It's never a question if God's speaking, giving warning. The question is, how well are we hearing? Many times Jesus stood up in ministries to crowds of people, and after he finished ministering something, he would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because he knew not everybody's hearing this. Big, impressive crowd of people. But how many are actually hearing what is being said? How many people are really getting it? I want to be one of those that are really getting it. Don't you want to be one of those? I want to be one of those that gets it. I get it. God talks, I get it. Praise God. I'm sensitive to him. Don't you want to be that way? Yes. We don't want to just be a part of the crowd and we say, I was there. I got the t-shirt. Right? I was there. I saw it. I experienced the moment and missed the whole thing. Missed the whole thing. And notice what else he says here in Jeremiah. He says, they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. So again, going back to the written word of God, number one, you got to delight in God's word. If you want to be good at hearing, getting revelation from God, hearing from God, being sensitive to him, you got to delight to do his will. Delight yourself in his word. Now, nobody's flesh in and of itself delights in God's word. And we all got some of that. We all got flesh. So you can't go by how your flesh is feeling. You have to rise up and declare, I delight in the Lord. I delight to do the will of God. I delight in the word of God. You got to speak out of your spirit. Because if you just listen to your flesh, listen to your body does not understand spiritual things. And so your body is not going to delight in spiritual things. And so you'll sit there even this morning and you'll just think, man, I don't really have much of a delight in it. I mean, I'm here, yeah. But you're thinking from your flesh. You're thinking, you're talking from your flesh. No. Start talking from your spirit. Release your faith. I delight in spiritual things. I do. According to the inward man. According to the spirit. I delight in spiritual things. I delight in the word of the Lord. I delight in the word of God. I delight in following God. Hallelujah. I want this. I want this. I want to be sensitive to God. I want to be led by him. Amen. So, but if you've dulled yourself because you rejected God's word, repent. Repentance is a great callus remover. God's given us this tool. It's a callus remover. It's spiritual, and it goes right to the callus. Just cuts the thing right off. Just cuts it right off. Cuts that thick piece of skin off. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Cause you to be sensitive again. But you're going to have to humble yourself, and you're going to have to admit it where you missed it. And you're going to have to repent, which means you're going to have to turn from the thing you think you like to do and do what he tells you to do, knowing that I like to do what he wants me to do more than I like to do what my flesh likes to do. I delight to do his will more than I delight to do my own thing. Because, you know, you give your flesh what it wants, it's kind of depressing afterwards. You know, a lot of times after you give your flesh what it wants, it's depressing. Take, for instance, cookies and cream ice cream. You know, it feels so good going down. But after you wiped out a big bowl of it, how many people feel real great about themselves? Right? No, they don't just sit there and lie in bed all bloated saying, "Woo! I sure love cookies and cream." Now, at that point, they're like, "Man, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it." It's depressing. Following the flesh is depressing. It's like that with everything. You know, it seems exciting going into it, but then you're going to come out of it depressed. But if you follow God, it might not seem that exciting going into it, but just knowing I did the will of God, knowing that I'm where I'm supposed to be, right in the plan of God, man, there's a thrill. There's an excitement to that. Because faith is exciting, and that strengthens your faith. You just get thrilled, praise God. So we keep ourselves sensitive to God. But isn't God good to warn us? He's a good God. He will always warn us of impending trouble. He will always warn us. We don't have to go into trouble. We don't have to just go headlong into some kind of disaster. We don't have to be victims in life. He will navigate us around and through things if will follow him. Let's become professionals. Professional followers of God. Amen. I mean, let's be professionals. Become professionals. That means we got to train. We're training. We're in training at learning how to follow God and get really good at it. Get really good at it. Amen. Praise God forever. So follow that inner witness. And then we looked at number three. The Holy Spirit leads us through higher thoughts. Higher thoughts. Remember he said over in Isaiah 55 verse 8. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God will always come with higher thoughts to help us in life. You'll have one thought, and then he'll come with a higher thought, and you'll know that's God's thought. That's God's thought. And we can follow him that way. He'll establish our thoughts, and that's what he says over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So the mind is a good thing. The mind is not a bad thing. It just needs to be renewed, and it needs to be open to God's thoughts. And God will put his thoughts in our mind. He will establish our thoughts with higher thoughts than we would have thought of. There's always a higher way that God can show us. And it's always an easier way. You know, God's ways are so much easier. It's just amazing. It's so simple, so easy. It's so simple and easy many times we just don't see it. But his higher thoughts are many times just very, very simple. And it makes life a whole lot easier for us. So we need to be listening to and be able to recognize a God thought. Because that's how he leads us. Recognize a God thought. If you get some really great thought, don't just sit there and go, man, I'm pretty smart. Recognize, no, God's talking to you. God's showing you some things. Amen. And then number four, the small, still voice is another way by which the Spirit of God leads us today. The small, still voice. We see over in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, where the word says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Isn't that powerful? I mean, there's this voice that we can literally hear. And it's like, you know, this voice just will come up behind you, it seems. But it's in the spirit. And you will hear, and it gives you direction. This is the way. Walk in it. And there'll be times where the Spirit of God will lead us through that way. Where you hear a voice, and it's him talking to you. Unfortunately, some people, they hear that voice, and they just think, man, I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind. Because they don't know God will speak to them through this way. But we need to be open to him speaking to us this way. Now, again, the number one way that he leads us is through the hearing of the word of God. Number two is through the inner witness. Those are the two primary ways that he's going to lead us in life. But then there are other ways also that he can lead us, and we see one right here. 1 Kings chapter 19. The prophet Elijah was on top of a mountain. He was praying. He was seeking God. And the Bible says in verse 12 that there was an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, the Bible says he wrapped his face, his head in his mantle, so that he could continue to hear that very faint, small, still voice. And it is a small, still voice. And that's what we got to watch about having a real loud life. Where we always got music blasting. We always got to have noise going. You know, the devil likes it that way. He wants to keep your world noisy. He wants the TV running. He wants the music playing. He doesn't like it when we get quiet because we might actually hear God. We might actually get direction from him. So you got to watch that. You got to watch about just liking a lot of noise. And I know how it was before I knew the Lord, before I was saved. I mean, you had music going on. I mean, it was a noisy life. You had a noisy atmosphere around you all the time. That's because that's the way the world inspired you to live. You just lived that way. It was just noisy, noisy, noisy. And so, but the Lord, if you follow him, he'll lead you to get more quiet and have more times of just listening. And you learn to enjoy quietness. It's nice. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable. I mean, I could stop preaching for 10 minutes right now. And some folks would get so uncomfortable. What's he going to do? Is he going to say something? I mean, we're going to do something? I mean, why are we just sitting here? Why are we just sitting here? Well, we're sitting in his presence. Wouldn't be a bad thing. Sometimes you go in to pray. Oh, God, I thank you for this, and I thank you for that. And God, you know this. And you know, God, you know I need this. You know I need that, God. You know, God, you know, okay, God, I got to go to work now. God, thank you, God. Oh, I'm so glad I got to pray today. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Then you get in the car, turn the radio on. Praise him, praise him, praise. Ching, 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 ching. Rattle, rattle, rattle. Then you get to work, and everybody else, you know, and just noise, 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 noise. And the Holy Ghost going, Right? How about just come and perform and shh? I'm not saying you have to do that every time, but some shh time is really good. The Bible calls it Selah. Selah, you see that in the book of Psalms, Selah, right? Selah time. Just shh. Quiet. Stop. Think about what you just read. It actually says that in the Psalms. There's several Psalms. And it'll say something, and it'll say Selah. So when it says Selah, that means stop. Think about it.
But I've got to read through this thing in a year. I don't have time to stop and think about this. I've got my Bible plan, and the day's getting late.
Stop. Selah. Selah. Shh. Shh. See, Elijah, when he heard that still, when he heard God start speaking to him in that small, still voice, man, he put his mantle, jacket over his head, and he was trying to block out all that sound around him that would try to hinder him from hearing that small, still voice because it was precious to him. He knows, this is God talking. I need to hear from him. I need to hear what he's saying. So he would cover himself up. So he'd block out all that external noise. And we got to be good at just getting the world around us quiet. We need to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. Can you say amen? Number five is through his influence. The influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look up the word influence, it means the ability to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. How many people know there are bad influences in life? In fact, the Bible says, do not be deceived, evil company, bad influences, corrupt good habits. It says, don't be deceived about this. If you hang around with bad influences, you're going to go bad. You're going to do bad things. It's just an influence. You might not even, you know, be looking to imitate this person and follow in their ways. But if you hang around with them, their influence is going to affect your character, affect your behavior. So we have to watch who's influencing our life. We need to let the Holy Spirit influence our life. And he'll do it. He'll influence our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 7, 10, it says, now to the married. Now this is the Apostle Paul, And of course, he's writing the Word of God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But notice what he says here. He says, now to the married, I command, yet not. He's given all kinds of instructions out. Given all kinds of instructions. Now he's coming to marriage. He says, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Verse 12. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. This is interesting. I, not the Lord, say, but she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. So notice, he starts off in verse 10 by saying, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So this command is from the Lord. And then he says, verse 12, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. Now, I'm saying this. Now, this isn't a command from the Lord. This is me talking to you. And he says, but she is happy if she remains as she is according to my judgment. That word judgment can also mean opinion, advice, according to my opinion, according to my advice. She's happier if she remains as she is. Now, the Lord's not directly saying this. See, now, he was saying that a little while ago, but he's not directly saying this. I'm saying this, but I'm giving you my opinion. I'm giving you my advice. This isn't a thus saith the Lord. This is thus saith me. But I am someone who has the Spirit of God. I am someone who is heavily influenced by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God heavily influences my life. So when I give my opinion about something, it's going to be right in line with what God would say if he actually said it. Because I rub shoulders with him a lot. You understand what I'm saying? So your opinion, your advice can be, or your judgment about things may not be the result of directly hearing a word from God, but by being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to live life under the influence. If an angel pulled us over and did a breath test, he needs to say, this guy's heavily under the influence. Walk a crooked line. Can't do it. Just can't do it. Just can't walk crooked. Because I'm under the influence. See what I'm saying? So we need to be rubbing shoulders with the Holy Spirit. How? Through fellowshipping with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it is. Talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need a fellowship with him. What is it? It's rubbing shoulders with him so that we are always under his influence. Always under his influence. In fact, he is what we're to be anointed with. We're to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. And to anoint something means to pour upon, rub into. Again, we're talking about rubbing shoulders with him. That's how you get anointed. Rubbing shoulders with the Holy Spirit. The anointing is something that's being rubbed into you, rubbed into your life. And we are to be under his influence. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. See, again, he's talking about being under the influence. Not of alcohol, but of the Spirit of God. So his influence will lead us to make decisions in life. Good decisions. God kind of decisions. Right? Not bad decisions, because he's not a bad influence. It's the influence of God in our life. And he will lead us this way. Isn't that powerful? Praise God forever. Just having the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship with Him, and just living under His influence makes your judgment like God's judgment, as good as God's. Just like we see here with Paul. His judgment was as good as God's. He's letting you know, now this isn't God saying, this is me saying, but I got the Spirit of God. I know what I'm talking about. I rub shoulders with Him. I'm anointed with Him. I'm under His influence. And so you can count on my judgment. I'll make the right decisions. I'll make God decisions. Praise God. So sometimes you get a revelation from God of what to do, what not to do. And sometimes it's just inspiration. Just His influence inspiring you. Inspiring you to do certain things or to not do certain things. We need to be under that inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Number six. The sixth way the Spirit of God will lead us in life today is through prophecy. Speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Speaking out. Now, I'm not talking about somebody prophesying over you. I'm talking about you prophesying. I'm talking about you speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the utterance to speak. Psalm 81, verse 10 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. God's trying to lead them. He said, I brought you out of Egypt. I got you this far. Now follow me. I'm going to give you direction on where to go from here. And here's how I'm going to do it. Open your mouth, and I will fill it with my words. And you'll be able to declare, prophesy by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, direction for your life, the answer to your life. You'll be able to declare your future so that you know the direction you're to go. Think about that. And as believers, we can all do this. The Bible says that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31, talking to the entire church. He says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Notice that. Tell them the whole church, you can all prophesy. You can all speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, we know, a lot of people in the body of Christ don't know, but we know that as a born-again believer, we can all be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. We can speak in, well, what is that? That's speaking by inspiration in an unknown language. That's what that is. It's unknown to your mind. You don't understand it. Well, if you could speak by inspiration in an unknown tongue, then you can speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a known tongue, in your known tongue. And think about it. We all love it if somebody had a word for us, right? Somebody speaks over our life, prophesies over our life, thus saith the Lord. We love that. But how about you opening your mouth and declaring by inspiration of the Holy Spirit things pertaining to your life and direction for your life? Now, I've had this, you know, I've used this many times. I've got some great revelation this way. I remember, you know, the one concerning the glory of God, revelation I got on the glory of God. I remember exactly where I was when I asked the Lord. I've been studying it and looking at it. And I was looking at the glory of God and I was looking at the grace of God. And I was like, well, wait a second. They both sound so much the same. I mean, you really start studying it out and start, you know, glory and grace start looking a lot alike. So I just kind of hit a dead end. I just wasn't getting it. I just kind of unsure how to reconcile these two things together, how this works. So I said to the Lord, out loud, I said, Lord, how What's the difference between your glory and your grace? That's what I asked. I had no idea. I have no idea. I said, what's the difference between your glory and your grace? And then I went, my glory is my awesomeness. It's all that I am and all that I have. My grace is my glory freely bestowed upon you. That came out of my mouth. I said that by faith. I believed that God would answer my question through my mouth. I prophesied that answer, and I got revelation. Praise God. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith. You got to know that you have the answers on the inside of you. See, the Bible says over in 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. And that anointing is on the inside of you. That anointing abides in you, and you know everything you need to know. And so, therefore, if it's in you, the answer's in you, speak it out. God is in you. If he speaks, why not speak through your lips? And that's what the Bible is telling us. Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. That was another thing, you know, talking about our thoughts are not your thoughts. I was in the drive-thru of a bank, and I was asking God a question. I had no idea the answer. And I said, Lord, I need to know about this, that, and the next thing. And then this thought came to me, and it was a higher thought. And the thought was, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. And then I said, I finished it, when I need to know it. That was what I said. But he said the first part. He gave me that first part. That was his thought. But I jumped right in on it, got in the flow. See, we're one with him, folks. I said, we're one with him. But you see, people don't have faith for that. They're not believing for that. But we need to start believing for that. We need to be able to recognize God lives in me. God will literally speak through my mouth. I can prophesy. I can speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said over in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, he told his disciples, he says, and of course it applies to us today. He says, therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Jesus is telling us, especially for these last days, when there's heavy persecution, maybe you're being brought to court for your faith. He says, don't be all worried about what you're going to say. Don't be all worried about saying the right thing. He says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom that your adversaries will not be able to contradict. Isn't that powerful? In other words, we have to have confidence that God will speak through our lips. I said, he'll speak through our lips. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's what he's doing right now through me this morning. You know, I know when I go aground, like a boat goes aground, you know, hits the sand. It just ain't flowing anymore. I know when you go aground. I know when we're in a flow. And you know when the Spirit of God, he's given stuff. I can also discern many times, you know, just how much is going in. You know, sometimes there's been some really good preaching. I walked away, I said, probably only 60% of them got it. But thank God you can always go back and listen to the recordings. Amen. You just become sensitive. You just become sensitive to always speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of that is dependent. A lot of your, when I'm up here ministering, speaking by opening my mouth wide, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a lot of how much I'm able to say and how well I'm able to say it is really dependent on how well people are hearing. How good they're listening. That's probably why Jesus, after ministering, he went, he who has ears, let him hear. Because he could tell, man, that was tough getting that out. Which means what? I'm dumb? I'm not good at speaking? I don't know what I'm talking about? No. People aren't good at listening. And it affects the utterance. It affects how well the word can come forth, can be spoken. So, man, if we want to hear God this morning, we want God speaking through the minister, whoever the minister might be ministering, then what do we need to be? We need to be good hearers. We need to be listening. Because the Spirit of God knows who's listening. And when we're listening and drawing on that gift of God, man, the minister will have great utterance. Great utterance. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, Paul said that over in, there's a few places we could look at for this. We're going to have to wrap it up. Hebrews 5. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, for one. He says this is in writing too, and I've seen it in writing as well. Lord's had me write little newsletters for the church, you know. I sit down, I get all kinds of stuff, man. I just type it all up, praise the Lord. And then next thing I sit down, I can't get a thing. It's like, I'm trying to type, I'm not getting a thing. It's like, hello. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I'm not getting anything here. You got to help me write the newsletter. He said, they're not reading it. They're not reading it. I said, they're not reading it. They're not reading it. So he wasn't giving me anything for it. So I said, oh, Lord, forgive him. I'll talk to him about it. And I believe they'll make the adjustment. So just forgive them for that, and I'll write the newsletters again. All right. So just give it to me this time, and I'll talk to them. And boom! Immediately, I had it. Wrote the newsletter. Praise God. Told everybody about it. Everyone. Oh yeah. Okay. Praise God. We repent, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then a week later, there's the newsletter sitting on the floor. One's in the parking lot. Another one's in a puddle. Another, people aren't reading them. And so I sit down, and it's gone. I said, all right, I'm not asking you again. And that's what Paul was dealing with here in Hebrews chapter 5. He's talking about the sufferings of Christ. He's talking about Melchizedek, the high priest, all these different things. Verse 11, he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Notice it's difficult to explain these things. Why? Because he doesn't know how to explain? He's just not good at explaining things? No, because of the way they're hearing. Because their hearing is dull, his explaining is difficult. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come of need of milk and not solid food. So, and of course, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the same thing. He says, you're not spiritual. I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people. So again, it can be difficult to get utterance if people are dull in their hearing. That's why it's very important we're good at hearing, because it doesn't just affect you, it affects the service, which is affecting the person next to you. So you're on vacation, you're in La La Land, and you're not receiving, and you're just here, and you're dull, then what you're actually doing is hindering the people around you. So what's the answer? Don't come to church anymore? No. Repent, and let's get excited. Let's get excited. Say, I love to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Which you're all doing pretty good this morning. We're doing probably a good 60%. No. Praise the Lord. I won't give out any percentages. But then let me just wrap it up here. Number seven. Another way the Spirit of God leads us is through the fivefold ministry gifts. And we see them here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice he's given these five ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, to help equip the body of Christ, to help teach, to help lead, to help guide the body of Christ. The one you're going to hear from the most is your pastor. That pastoral gift. Bible, uses the analogy of a shepherd and talking about a pastor. And so he, what does a shepherd do? He leads his flock. He leads. He doesn't get behind them and beat them with a stick. He leads them. And they follow. They follow, right? So the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, will anoint a shepherd to help lead the flock. So it's the anointing upon the shepherd or the pastor that will help lead people in the way that they should go. That's why you don't want to miss a meeting. Because you're missing God's leading for your life. I mean, really. You have to really hear from God not to be in a service at a place that he's appointed you to be in. To not be there. You have to understand Sunday, Wednesday, special meetings. God is endeavoring to give you very important instruction. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And this is one of the ways he does it in life. And we don't want to be dull to that. We want to be sensitive to that. We want to receive that direction from him. Can you say amen? It's the Spirit of the Lord upon the minister that allows him to prophetically, flowing by inspiration in the Holy Spirit, to lead a congregation, lead individuals in the way that they're to go. There's some things you will not hear from God directly, apart from your pastor. There's some things God will only say to you through the ministry gifts that he's appointed in the church. But that's okay, because he expects you to be under those gifts. He expects you to receive from those gifts. So if you're in your place, you're going to get what you're supposed to get. But we got to watch, because a lot of people aren't getting what they're supposed to be getting. And they're thinking, well, why didn't I get that? Why didn't I know that? And it was like, because you weren't there when he was telling it to you in that series that went on for 5 weeks. See what I'm saying? So it's very important. It's very important. In fact, you know, there's been people that the Lord's had me, you know, sit under and listen to. And sometimes I'll put their teachings on, you know, while I'm driving. And I'll think, I want to hear this. And next thing I know, my mind gets distracted. And I stop and I go, you know, the flesh just kind of says, it's okay. He's got a lot more things he's saying. No, I missed that. I got to go back and get that. And I go back and get that and I get distracted again. Then I go, okay, something's up. Something's trying to keep me from hearing this because I want to hear it. And it's two times I purpose to hear it and I got distracted both times. And I go to, and I'll make sure that I get, and a lot of times, I needed to hear that. And sometimes you don't even know that you needed to hear it until something happened in your life. And then all of a sudden, you got your answer in the moment because you heard it back here. You were sitting in church, you got it from God, he told you some things, and it prepared you for what was to come. But you didn't know what was coming. But he knew, and he prepared you. That's why sometimes, you know, you got to watch. You think, well, I heard this. I know this. Well, maybe you need to hear it again. Just maybe you don't know it enough to be able to stand against what's around the corner. Now, that's not to scare anybody. We know we live in a world of trials and tests. And we always want to be ready. And if we're listening to God and we're following him, we will always be ready. We will always be ready. And I'm not asking you to have confidence in yourself, but have confidence in God. Not so much in your following him, but in him leading you. We're just going to do what he tells us to do. We're just going to follow him. It's really not hard. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever and ever and ever. Thank God for the prophetic voice that comes through the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. We have special ministers come in here. That's prayerfully considered. I don't just have to anybody come up here and stand behind this pulpit. I believe it's a strategic thing. It's a timing. It's the voice that God wants speaking into our life at that time. So we want to make sure that we get that from him. Praise God. And then, of course, he'll lead us through manifestations of the Spirit, as you see over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 7, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Now we could, you know, maybe the Lord will lead us to do it, go into detail on each one of these manifestations of the Spirit of God. But God will speak to us. He'll use these different manifestations to speak to us, to direct us, to help us in life. And I'm kind of getting stirred up. We might do that next week. We'll see. We'll see how the Spirit of God leads us. Praise God. But because we see, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So to see these things operating in our life, we got to have faith for them. We got to have an expectancy about us. If you never hear about it, you don't even know that you could prophesy and that you could flow in these things, or these God will move in these ways and speak to us in these ways. And if you don't know it, then you'll miss it. You'll miss Him when He's trying to direct you. But He's teaching us so that we won't miss it in life. Praise God, we'll be right on target with Him, flowing with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.